Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Which college football fan base are you about done with? Because I have mine. Do you have yours? 844-GSP-ESPN. That is the phone number. 71307 on the text line. It is up also on our Twitter page at ESPN Upstate. You can also tweet us at Willie P Style. And I have to tell you, Deez, I think this is almost a half and half opinion because I feel like we're getting a bunch of South Carolina fans posing as Clemson haters. I feel like we have a lot of Clemson fans who are taking the baton of what is your God-given right as a South Carolinian, and that is to hate everything involving the state of Ohio. I smile. I almost want to – can I amend my vote? Because the more and more I think about it, that Ohio State story that I told you earlier about my roommate who wore his Ohio State shirt under his band uniform and his band was not the Ohio State marching band, I want to say Ohio State – they are so smug. They are so just condescending. They act like they invented the game. I can't stand Ohio State more than Alabama. Although I do have a story involving Alabama slander, and this isn't an Alabama fan. This was an Alabama media member. I won't reveal his name because he and I have since spoken after a long impasse. But it was a situation where I was covering a game. And it was an Alabama game. They were obviously the road team. And he accused me of cheering in the stands. And if you know anything about me, number one, I am one of two things. Tell me, repeat the first line that I showed you earlier when we were talking in the break. What is the one thing I told you about myself that you see is absolutely true?
You take hard days really hard?
No. You said I was the most insecure person on the face of the earth.
You said you were the most insecure person on the face of the earth.
Yes, and you said I agree.
And I said I agree.
So there's that. So I take any criticism utterly seriously and probably way too far. And number two, I'm just very loud. Anybody who knows me knows that I can be heard in any part of this state if I go above a dull roar. So as a result, he thought that I was cheering, and I literally, he's lucky I didn't do something that might have put me in jail, because I was very, very angry about that accusation, because I take my professionalism about as seriously as I take my insecurity. and again,
he's visibly flustered, people.
So because of that, I looked at him and said, you know what, go back to Alabama where you don't have any roads and things of that nature. I said something defamatory about the state of Alabama, which probably, you know, is actually probably true.
Got more teeth in your town, has paved roads.
There you go. Something to that nature. Although you know, a lot of those jokes probably can apply more to West Virginia than it does to Alabama. Although all the West Virginia jokes involve cousin marrying. So, you know, from that perspective.
Do you remember when graphic tees were a thing?
Yes.
How old are you? 37, 38?
32. But 32. Thank you for the oldness. Oh,
well, it's the beard. Well, I've got you by three.
Okay.
So do you remember when graphic tees were the thing?
I had plenty. Oh, you would go
Old
to Target,
Navy,
Target,
American
Kohl's,
Eagle, Target.
Yes.
They all had them.
Yes.
Well, there was a T-shirt at one time. It was an outline. Well, you're familiar with the Virginia slogan, Virginia is for lovers.
Yes.
Well, American Eagle at one point, very briefly.
West Virginia is for incest?
No, it said, it's all relative in West Virginia. With the outline of the state of West Virginia.
That's good. That's very good.
And they had to take it off their shelves real quick, but you can get them out there on Amazon.
That's pretty good.
It's all relative in West Virginia.
I was a finalist for a job in West Virginia. Man, that's a weird place.
It's a beautiful state, though.
That's a weird place.
If you like getting outside, it's a beautiful state.
I don't know. I don't know if I could have done it. It's a weird place. Nice people. People couldn't have been nicer.
If your job is in like downtown Charleston, it'd be fine.
It was Morgantown.
Whoa.
Hour and a half from Pittsburgh. You saying I dodged a bullet?
Yeah.
Saying I dodged a bullet?
Well, if you went within firing range of Pittsburgh, you'd be dodging a lot of bullets.
Man, what's in the water today, man? We are just throwing shit all over the place. 844-GSP-ESPN, who do you consider the most annoying fan base? 36% of you say Ohio State. 32% of you, which I'm guessing is the South Carolina contingent. Hello, South Carolina contingent.
Welcome to the program.
Well, speak slower. 22% say Alabama. 10% say Notre Dame. See, I'm just this is probably a massive overcorrection on my part because people are thinking that we're pro Clemson or anti Clemson or whatever. And I really just don't care. Buckeyes by a landslide says Jaylen's 864. Cam says South Carolina is the most annoying fan base, but seriously, Ohio State, Georgia. From Alan Randall says Georgia the most annoying fan base. I don't understand why people hate Georgia fans. All you got to do with say Georgia fan is say 1980, bo. 1980. 1980. That's all you say.
Georgia fans are of that unique breed that they have one title.
Yeah.
But every year, and this was even before ESPN.
Yes.
A little plug for my article yesterday. Before ESPN started banging out every team that's back, back.
Watch the way you say that.
But Georgia fans, every year, this is our year. This is the year we're going to be good. Well, we're going to be good again this year. And for the longest time, they were not. Especially under Mark Richt.
I think that they are legit this year. But I'm very, very, what I would call, I would call myself somebody reticent to make that point drive home. Because, again, I do believe that there is an opportunity for them to take that next step and possibly win a championship. Although, I also think that they just as easily could urinate on the bed. So it could go either way. I'm not trying to hedge, but I do think that from their standpoint, they probably have as good a chance as any over the course of this season.
Well, given your options here in this poll, Alabama, the only Alabama fan that I know two, actually. I know Sturge, and right. Sturge humble bragged a lot about his alma mater. He
of
did
course.
It all the time. He did it so much to the point that I actually had to start making elephant sounds on the air to let him know every time that he talked about his alma mater mentions the fact that he went to Alabama.
I must be the only person in this building who's not chesty about their alma mater.
Right.
Because I got personal beef with them, but that's
Lonzo's the only
here.
Ohio State fan that I know personally.
Oof.
I've never met a Notre Dame fan.
I dated a Notre Dame fan, and let me tell you, ain't nothing like a domer, man. Those domers.
Yeah, but they got nothing, really.
Well, they got the Lou Holtz era. They got the Holtz era.
But nothing since.
And Knute Rockne. Again, they also they're another school that feels like they invented the game.
Right.
Somebody mentioned Michigan. I think Michigan is not really a threat. There's a vote for Texas. Remember we had a Texas call yesterday.
Yeah.
Which I found very interesting. Gentlemen calling straight on the road, which you can do 844-GSP-ESPN. Just call us in and chat to us about anything that we are talking about. We're going to talk to Jim Zuki, by the way, of the Panthers Radio Network, joining us here in about 7-8 minutes time. 71307 on the text line as well. Start your message with ESPN and make sure that you are part of the program. We're asking you who is the most annoying fan base in the country. Notre Dame fan, I think, again, very, very similarly to a Georgia fan, probably thinks that they have a better chance at the beginning of the year than anybody, but they are immediately humbled. So I would say that probably they're the most annoying August and September fan base, but November and December, all their Notre Dame stuff is in the closet for winter, much like their chances in the playoff. How many points did they score against Clemson? Oh, wait, 3. Oh, yeah, that's right. We started the show by talking about the NCAA running scared. With this new rule involving the memo to agents basically saying that they need a bachelor's degree, NBPA certification for 3 years, liability insurance, and an in-person exam.
What's the point of the bachelor's degree?
It's
certification I'm fine with.
People believe that it's, again, something directed toward confidants like Rich Paul is to LeBron James. Again, I don't necessarily see it in that vein. I think, again, it's more to get the interlopers who are going to funnel money out of or into the hands of players in an illegal fashion, or not illegal, but in a fashion not keeping with the NCAA's archaic and arbitrary policies. Which, again, people are calling it the Rich Paul rule. I call it the protecting your own self-interest policy. And again, this could all go away. This could all go away. You can have your cake and eat it too, and say, listen, we're not going to be in the business of paying athletes, but if they want to make money, very similar to the Olympic model, where they basically say,
I feel like this is directed right at me. Oh, this message just came in.
I was about to say, I saw the same text come in. But I want to finish my thought. I do believe you can have your cake and eat it too by using the Olympic model, giving them the ability to earn money off the name and likeness. And I think it also helps for the Olympic sports, where those players are not compensated fairly, in my mind, because a lot of them are not on scholarship. 844-GSP-ESPN, text line 71307 is how you get in touch with us. We're asking you also, who is the most annoying fan base in all of college football? This texter from the 864 is obviously a Michigan fan. He says, Buckeyes and App State fans who remind me about their victory. Do you remember where you were when that victory happened?
Yeah, I was in the stadium.
You were there?
I was there.
You were there?
I was there.
Wow.
I drank a lot pregame. So the first half is kind of fuzzy. Second half, I remember it well.
Ugh.
I also remember the total beatdown we took the second time we went to Michigan. So if it makes the texter feel any better, we're 1-1 all time. You're 500 against the Mighty Mountaineers.
I was covering a different game at that time. I'm trying to remember. 2007, I was in St. Louis. I was at Missouri, Illinois. And that, when I think that game happened, like, it was either concurrent or right around, it was a noon game, if I remember correctly, and the game that I was going to was happening as I was driving to the stadium, and that was, I love that. Not because I have any particular disdain towards Michigan, but again, it was a win for the little guy, which I happen to like. I'm a big,
it should happen more often.
I'm a big stand up for the little guy type person. I was rooting for Citadel when they were basically screwing around with Alabama in the first half. Unfortunately, that went by the wayside.
Shout out to Georgia Southern knocking off Florida back in the day.
Yes. Sorry, Muschamp.
Sorry, Mark Ryan.
844-GSP-ESPN. We love to relive those memories. We also love to relive the memories of Panther football and Panther football returning tomorrow night on our sister station, Classic Rock 101.1, our friend Jim Zocchi from the Panthers Radio Network will join us next. He is in Chicago for Panthers-Bears as the Carolina Panther preseason opens tomorrow, and he'll talk about it with us next on ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. We head to the phone lines, and we are now joined by Jim Zocchi, the Panthers Radio Network. Of course, the Panthers on our sister station, 101.1, here in the upstate, as we get you ready for Panthers preseason game number one, Jim. And you're in Chicago to take in that. Where does the feel around the team right now as they embark on the fourth ever meeting between the two clubs in the preseason, between the Panthers and the Bears?
Yeah, and Will, I join you from the team bus. So we are literally embarking our way through Chicago traffic as I talk to you right now. But, I think there's a lot of excitement. It's a new season. It's going to be the 25th year of Panthers football. A lot of interesting things. We know that, you know, Cam and Luke will not play. So it's going to be mostly about seeing the younger players, what they're about in this first preseason game. But, beyond that, you got rookies like Ryan Bird is the first-round pick, Greg Little the second-round pick. We'll see Will Greer at some point in this game. out of Davidson Day and West Virginia quarterback. So anytime you got new players, a lot of excitement built around that.
You know, I know people made a big deal about the fact that Cam is not playing and why he isn't playing. You know, if it was me and if I'm the Panthers, I don't want to see him other than in the dress rehearsal game three, if at all, in the preseason. How did you feel about Ron Rivera's decision to hold him out?
You know, they talk about how that third preseason game most resembles a regular season game. It's become that the first preseason game resembles a fourth preseason game. It really is a sit the veterans kind of a game, and I think there'll be a lot of veterans that'll be sitting this one out, and they'll really focus more on getting them some snaps in the second and third preseason games. L.A. Rams last year reached the Super Bowl. They didn't play any of their starters as far as like their key guys on offense in any of the four preseason games. So it's become more and more just being cautious. I mean, I think anyone's too worried about it, but you just keep seeing that more and more around the league. Coaches trying to take, you know, some of the reps off these guys so they can get through a, you know, 5 months of football.
I know when you and I were up in Charlotte together talking about this team, we talked a lot about how that renewed defense and the kind of reconfigured defensive front will allow some guys to make plays a lot more easily when you think about guys like Irvin and even Brian Burns coming into the fold and Mario Addison on the outside. How does that free up those guys and make guys like Kawan Short more showcased on the line based on a 3-4 look versus a 4-3?
I think, you know, the thing it does is, you know, not only is it, you know, the versatility of these guys on the edge in the 3-4, but, you know, if you double team one, you're picking your poison because in the middle, you're going to have guys like Kawan Short and Gerald McCoy in from Tampa with 6 Pro Bowl years to his credit, Don Terry Poe and Kyle Love, and just the girth those guys bring, and they usually do occupy 2 blockers. It's just a numbers game where it's just going to free up these super quick guys. Brian Burns, when you see him in person, is just so fast off the edge. And then bringing in Bruce Irvin, like you mentioned, Mario Addison's been consistently a double-figure sack guy. You can't block them all without leaving a max protection set back there. So you're either going to have to do that and limit your weapons on offense by blocking or suffer the consequences with your quarterback. So it's the team is really built for speed and potentially a lot of quarterback sacks up front.
You mentioned Kuechly not being in the fold. What does that mean opportunity-wise for a guy like a Jermaine Carter, who I think you want to see progression from?
Exactly. So that's the guy that's going to step up and be the starter in his spot, and a fairly high draft pick last year out of Maryland. So he'll get that kind of opportunity. That's what they want to see. I mean, you're when you come in with 90 guys and you get down to 53, you know, the math is you're probably looking for 3 or 4 roster spots barring an injury. So they come in, they pretty much know who the first 49 or 50 guys are going to be. You know, you want to solidify those back end spots. And, you know, that means you got to be good on special teams to make the backup team essentially there. But also know that they have confidence in you as a spot starter for when starters are out. So for people like Jermaine Carter, DeAndre Smith, some other guys have been around for a couple of years. It's an opportunity to show that they can do more than just special teams and actually play the position they want, which is linebacker in that case.
Jim Zoki from the Panthers Radio Network joining us here on ESPN Upstate. Of course, Classic Rock 101.1 is the home of Panther football in the Upstate. And, of course, they'll have the broadcast coming up tomorrow night, 8 p.m. kickoff on the East Coast here. And, of course, the pregame and all that with Mick and the boys coming up tomorrow evening. Switching gears to the secondary, Jim, obviously a lot of positivity coming from the guys who you're bringing back, but I think the one guy who people have really kind of wowed over is Trey Boston. You know, I know that he's played for 3 different teams in his brief NFL career, but Pro Football Focus loves him, and he has a lot of good metrics defensively. What has he meant standing alongside Eric Reed in the middle part of that secondary?
Yeah, it just solidified a need, which was free safety. Opposite Eric Reed is a strong safety, and they have some young guys there, but I think they view them more as potential than ready to start in the NFL right now. And with Boston, you know exactly what you're getting. Spent 3 years here, played with the Chargers, played with the Cardinals, led his team in interceptions at that safety position each of his 2 years there. You know, still has the same head coach here in Ron Rivera. Eric Washington is a defensive coordinator who was on staff then when he was here. So it's just an easy plug and play. And they bring in a guy who's not just a guy, but he's a starter. So it just fits in that seamlessly. And the other thing was you had some guys that were trying to play free safety that were competing at the nickel spot. You know, the nickel spot is still up in the air. It helps to kind of just, again, take away one of the 2 questions. Now you can go and really focus on some of these guys all competing at the nickel spot and not necessarily being a starter at that safety position now.
Jim Zocchi joining us here from the Panther Radio Network as we get ready for Panther preseason football tomorrow night. The Panthers take on the Chicago Bears at 8 p.m. at Soldier Field. You know, on the offense, Jim, one of the things that obviously just on a big picture sense, North Turner in his second year as the offensive coordinator, I know a lot of times these coordinators, when they're putting in a brand new install, they might not be able to implement everything they want to from an offensive standpoint and an offensive package. I know a lot of that was hampered by Cam's injury a year ago. How much fuller, how much more complete, what new wrinkles do you expect to see in the fold as Norv prepares for year two with this offense?
You know, whatever they can handle. I think Norv made a great comment down at practice last week when he was asked a lot about Christy McCaffrey and all of his reps and this and that. He said, we're not going to put any play into a game plan for a game day that we don't practice to perfection during the week. So it really is up to the players to perfect it. So I think, you know, the more that they can get on the same page together and work together, the more exciting it's going to be. But I love the potential of what they've got with DJ Moore entering his second year, Curtis Samuel entering his third year, McCaffrey in his third year. You know, these guys are ready to take on that kind of a responsibility. It looks like the offensive line is going to be really good this year. I mean, it really is going to be protection where Cam can sit back in the pocket. You know, they talk about arm strength. You got to have the time to set up and be able to throw deep routes. So if the offensive line can protect him, you know, that will add to where they can do some go routes and just get that speed going downfield with, you know, Curtis Samuel in particular.
I was talking to a friend of mine in the business who covers the New England Patriots, and he was lamenting about the fact that Chris Hogan is no longer in Patriot camp because he certainly provided a very big safety outlet for Tom Brady. How does he step into that role along with Greg Olsen now with Cam Newton in this offense?
You know, you get some reliable guys. You know, the two you mentioned and Jarius White. I mean, those are three veteran, sure-handed guys. And what quarterback wouldn't love to have that? So, yeah, we talk about, you know, the excitement and the speed of what the younger guys can bring. You know, in 3 years, Hogan was part of two Super Bowl teams with New England. And Jarius Wright was brought in initially because he was so well-versed in North Turner's offense coming from Minnesota. And Greg Olsen, the perennial Pro Bowl player, obviously went healthy. So those guys, you know, if you got to deal with the speed and you got to deal with McCaffrey, those guys are going to run great, crisp routes. They got good hands. And those are the ones that move the chains and turn third downs into first downs.
I know that they spent some very expensive draft capital on Will Greer, and obviously, you know, a lot of these teams might only carry two quarterbacks nowadays. How would you handicap, obviously Allen's going to get the start, but how would you handicap the way that the backup quarterback battle is going between Kyle Allen and Will Greer?
Yeah, they both have showed well. I mean, it's still an open competition, and you got to start somewhere on the depth chart, and somebody's got to play first. So it's going to be Kyle Allen. I think it's a little bit of a nod to the fact he started that last game at New Orleans and showed well there, and he's been around for most of a season already. And but Greer, as you said, I mean, they invested a third-round pick. I think the thought is, you know, when you draft somebody that high, he's got that potential to be a starting quarterback in the league. So he'll get that chance to compete for that. But that one may go through all four preseason games before they settle who's second, who's third. And Taylor Heinicke, you know, they thought a lot of him last year, young veteran guy. It says a lot about the depth that, you know, that's your fourth string quarterback. And obviously at the most, you'll keep three. But they might have to make room at least initially within the season to have all three. I think, you know, Kyle Allen, I'm kind of intrigued. I want to see more what he can do after what he showed in New Orleans last year.
I want to ask you about a couple of I want to say undrafted rookies, maybe underdrafted rookies in my mind. You know, Elijah Holyfield at running back position, you know, that's a position we've been talking about over the course of this week that's been devalued. We talked about Georgia's running backs this year being probably one of the best units in all of college football. And last year he was part of a very solid unit for them as well. But he comes undrafted. He joins a running back room that really hasn't found what I would consider to be a suitable secondary guy behind McCaffrey. How do you handicap Holyfield's ability to make the team?
You know, it's because he is an undrafted rookie, it's going to be a little bit of an uphill battle. You know, Cameron Artis Payne's entering his fifth season out of Auburn here, so he's been around for a while. Jordan Scarlett won't play with a lower back injury tomorrow, so that's going to leave a great opportunity in this game for Holyfield to show what he can do as a running back here. And he brings, you know, a real physical presence, a size that most of the other backs don't have here. So that's his calling card, is that he could be that. But again, when you're a backup in the NFL, if you're in the 53, you got to be a good special teams player. So I think if I had to sit here today, I would say probably more likely someone you want in your practice squad, the 10-man practice squad. But again, if there's injuries or something else occurs, it could give them a chance to get onto the 53 at the end. But I would say as far as initially, probably a long shot, but maybe in the future, something more like a practice squad with a chance down the road to get on the active roster.
A couple more for Jim Zonke, the Panther Radio Network here on ESPN Upstate. A guy who's garnered a lot of attention just from South Carolina media because of his lineage in the state and obviously having played in the state in high school is Christian Miller. He seems to get a lot of questions from Ron Rivera after practice. What has stood out to you about his game?
You know, just first of all, the physical stature, 6'3", 240 pounds. He's got all the physical tools that you would want. And just, again, another guy on the edge that can bring pressure. Coach Rivera keeps talking about he's a little bit robotic. So he just got to trust his football instincts a little bit more and not be so by the numbers and by the book. So I think it's just a matter of him letting the game slow down. He's got to be a rookie for a little bit and then letting things kind of flow where he becomes a more creative football player. And that just takes time. I mean, it's just something that's going to not happen overnight. Could take part of his first season, all of his first season, but he's more of an investment in the future and not somebody who's ready right now, just a little bit raw, but talented guy, and you can see that on the field.
Last one for you, Jim. Which player among those who you might haven't seen in a game situation from the Panthers' perspective, who are you most excited to see on the field tomorrow night?
Yeah, one guy who's been showing up in practice quite a bit is Javion Elliott, and he's a nickel. We talked about nickel being a big need for this team. And Elliott is a guy that played with the Buccaneers for 3 years. And not many people know about him, but keep an eye on 38. Kind of a smallish guy at that position. But with Corn Elder, he's competing, and Cole Luke, I think he's got a chance to really see some time here, a guy that might make the 53 that we wouldn't have thought about a few weeks ago.
Is it pizza or Italian beef for you guys tonight in Chicago?
We were just talking about that. Kevin Donnelly was asking, am I in charge of dinner plans for the group tonight? And I don't like that responsibility, but I said, we'll work on it. I've been told by your friend Tony, the hitman, Lou Minaldi's is the place to go for deep dish pizza. So if we go deep dish pizza, it'll be Lou Minaldi's. Beyond that, I don't know.
Luminati's for deep dish. And if you want Italian beef, go to Al's. Al's Beef.
Another great suggestion. I'm going to throw those out there for the gang. And we can't go wrong, right? I mean, Will, whatever we pick, it's going to be good.
You certainly can. I was just in Chicago a couple months ago and always love going up there. Jim Zonke, have a good call tomorrow. I'll give my best to Mick and appreciate the time as always.
Anytime, Willie. Thank you.
That is Jim Zonke from the Panther Radio Network. That guy is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to this football team, and really happy that we've had the relationship that we've had between the two of us, and happy to see football back in the fold fully with Panther preseason football again tomorrow on Classic Rock 101.1, which, again, is your home for Panther football in the upstate. It is ESPN Upstate as we continue here on a Wednesday. We're asking you the question, who is the most annoying fan base in all of college football? Someone seems to think that the answer is clear, but I'll tell you right now, the answer isn't that clear. And also, if you missed it earlier, the Gamecocks 2020 schedule is out. If you thought that this schedule is hard, Gamecock fans, the next one's a doozy as well. It's ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We've had a running theme with our non-sports story that will make you smile and smirk. This one burns pretty deep. That comes your way in about 15 minutes' time. We're asking you the question on ESPN Upstate's Twitter feed, at ESPN Upstate. You can tweet me at Willie P. Style. Phone number 844-GSP-ESPN. I'd love to know why you find your most annoying fan base annoying. Also on the text line, 71307. The four choices on Twitter, because we only can put four up there: Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Clemson. Someone was asking why those four were put towards us.
I guess winning titles makes you annoying.
What is Notre Dame doing up there? I mean, come on. Let's be real. When was the last title for Notre Dame? Notre Dame national title?
Was it in the Holtz?
It was Lou Holtz. Lou Holtz has one.
What was that, 74, 75?
Something like that. No, I think that would have been
Notre Dame fans.
88 okay. Was their last one.
So I was alive for it.
So actually, more soon than Georgia. So that's how how you can get a Georgia fan, is to be like, hey, by the way,
Notre Dame's won a title since last time.
Exactly. Notre Dame's won a title since you won a title. And they don't ever win titles anymore. Greg Summers just, this is funny. He tweets us at ESPN Upstate a meme of an Alabama fan with, you can count the teeth, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And the meme says, row with 3 W's, tied. Row tied. My man Tommy Mott, Hot Take Tommy down in Atlanta, says Notre Dame is the most annoying fan base, and it is not even close. JLunds864 on Twitter says Buckeyes by a landslide. Cam says South Carolina, but seriously, Ohio State. 38% saying Clemson, which I'm guessing the Gamecock fan contingent is now getting into this poll right now because they have Clemson on top. 32% say Ohio State. 21% of you say Alabama. My vote is still Ohio State. Because, and again, initially, I put in was Alabama, but if I could change it and amend it, the more and more I think about it, Ohio State is that. Steven goes, easy answer to a predominantly South Carolina following. You asked nationally that most people couldn't even point Clemson out on a map. It's funny, I was with David Hood at, what's it called, at the Cotton Bowl, and someone was asking about, you know, where Clemson is. He's like, Clemson, that's like in Georgia, right? No, it's close. Not quite. He says the only hate because they've been so successful recently. Alabama is worse by a mile, says Steven, which we can see by their constant complaining and excuse making. That's initially why I said Alabama, because of their consistent complaining and excuse making. But again, that all kind of goes by the wayside for me because I find it to be somewhat incessant and complain worthy when it comes to Alabama and its self-righteous fan base. South Carolina released its 2020 schedule today. Well, that they didn't release it. The SEC released its conference schedule, and combined with the non-conference games already in place for South Carolina, the entire SEC had its schedules basically released a year in advance. And if you are like me, and being somebody who is already tired of South Carolina fans complaining about their 2019 schedule, well, guess what? You have a year head start to complain on this one, because in the month of November, South Carolina will have to host Georgia, go to LSU, home Wofford, which, as we know, is no bargain, and then at Clemson on the 28th of November. That is probably the toughest month in the history of South Carolina football. Would you say that's probably the toughest month in the history of South Carolina football?
Easily.
Not having a full access to the archive there, but I probably can say that three of those four teams are probably going to be ranked in the top 25 at that point. Would you say? And Wofford, obviously a high-level FCS squad. Wofford is not your standard FCS opponent now. So let's give Wofford credit. And by the way,
are they still running the flex bone or wishbone?
Still run the option.
Good luck with that.
Wofford head coach Josh Conklin will join us about 20 minutes from now to talk about that option and team that made the FCS playoffs a year ago, as of course out of the SoCon. And the rest of that schedule, they open with Coastal Carolina and East Carolina on the 5th and 12th of September. They host Missouri September 19th. at Kentucky the 26th of September, at Florida October 3rd. They have to go to Kentucky and to Florida in back-to-back weeks. Ugh. Then home Tennessee, then a bye before the A&M contest, which is at home, at Vanderbilt on the 31st of October. So they get a Halloween game in Nashville. Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. That just screams curfew issues, does it not? Nash Vegas on the 31st of October. You mean to tell me people aren't going to be going down to...
Those prisons will be full.
That's going to be nuts. Over under on arrests made in the South Carolina media contingent, 4. I'm kidding, guys. It's me, okay? You're lucky I'm not on that trip. Let's put it that way. Oh, yeah, yeah. The Vanderbilt trip a year ago was very, very fun, covering that game for South Carolina Vanderbilt. That was a lot of fun. Nashville is a fantastic city. Dan tweets us at ESPN Upstate. This one is tough. Before I moved to South Carolina, I wouldn't have said anything bad about Alabama fans, but every bar fight I've seen in South Carolina was started by Alabama fans. It's funny. I didn't know that Bama fans could get into a bar because you need to be able to drive a car to do that. Too soon?
It's a tough stat to track.
Do they give you...
It sounds good in a Zynga contest.
Do they give you a license for driving your John Deere in Alabama?
They have special tractor parking out back.
Is that how that works? Again, something that you will come to realize, I got lines for everybody. And I'm not talking about the kind of lines that you can... I'm not going there. You almost led me down a path of dirtiness, D's. That was not good for you.
But I went dirty and threw some shade at Shy Wertz. The Georgia Southern quarterback, Georgia Southern, much improved.
Yes.
Caught with a little cocaine.
Oh.
On the outside of his car.
Ugh.
Doesn't know how it got there.
He wasn't.
But it's there.
You're saying he wasn't shy about snorting?
No.
Weird. It's bad.
It's not weird if it's your car, right? If you're snorting lines off your own car.
That's not good. It's not good at all.
Let's not go there, actually.
It's not good at all. Arrest footage reveals substance plastered on a majority of car's hood. Not good. Shy Wertz, of course, was part of that game that Clemson played last year against Georgia Southern, the game that... that was played in the wake of the hurricane that we saw in our state, which very much was brought about from that perspective. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. 71307 is the text line. Just start your message with ESPN, and we will get you in on the line. Text from the 864 says, Buckeyes and App State fans who remind me about their victory is one that he says from his perspective. That obviously is a Michigan fan.
And the kick is blocked.
Appalachian State has beaten the Michigan Wolverines. Let's go to Connor, who's on the line to chat with us about South Carolina's 2020 schedule. Hello, Connor. You're on the air on ESPN Upstate. What's up, pal?
Hey, man. About that schedule, I know November is tough, but when you look at the first like 6 or 7 weeks, I don't think it's crazy to think that Carolina could be 6-0 with going into the bye before A&M. That is not a hard first half of the schedule.
6-0.
Look at it. We open with Coastal, then what is it? Mizzou, and then some other
Kentucky,
teams.
Missouri at Kentucky, and then at Florida, and then home Tennessee.
That's a tall task to go ahead and mark up.
Come on.
Kentucky is a win, automatic win.
I was about to say,
come on, man.
Three. If you can get, if
way
you
too
get,
early 6-0.
If you can get to the bye at 5-1, I'd be impressed. You get to the bye at 5-1, I'd be impressed. I don't think you can go through that.
We're doing it.
I don't think you can. Yeah, this is what people do. They see the schedule a year in advance, and they already are counting wins and losses, man. Come on, man. There's not a lot of love for my man Mark with the C's Florida Gators in 2020. They won't have Franks by then, will they? Franks is gone by then. Oh, Franks is a junior, so they might have the senior version of Felipe Franks, senior version of a 58% passer, which, again, I still don't know how you got 10 wins out of that team, but, again, that's the way I feel about Florida and Florida football in general. And they've proven that they can go down there and win, too. It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and also the radio.com app. The non-sports story that will make you smile and smirk, it actually comes from the state of Alabama. You're not going to believe what a woman did to a man who tried to invade her house. This is a doozy. It's ESPN Upstate. Former Clemson assistant Steve Smith, who was at the center of the basically accusations of impropriety involving the football team, of course, was on Brad Brownell's staff, has been hired as an assistant coach at Florida State. That was happened within the last hour. So he joins Leonard Hamilton's staff. So an interesting development there with Steve Smith. He will stay in the fold. And this from our pal Matt Connolly, who was on with us yesterday. Apparently, Clemson has self-reported 13 secondary violations for football. And again, these are all secondary violations. Every school does this every year, so this is not necessarily uncommon. But the state newspaper actually has obtained that. And apparently, there was things involving player paid for more than the going rate for work, all the way down to an impermissible use of confetti. So there's that. Also, social media report.
Count on one hand all the players who have ever been influenced and chosen a school because of confetti.
Also, stuff involving a social media post involving an athlete and things about that as well in there. Again, a lot of these things don't usually lead to anything. Again, it's just part of their self-reporting deal that they try to at least stay above board with in the NCAA. Let me take you to the non-sports story of the day that'll make you smile and smirk. I was going to go with Rome being full of trash and a story about brassieres in Japan, but instead I'm going to take you to Alabama. Makes you wonder about those stories, doesn't it?
Taking us there on a dirt road?
Police in Alabama say a man suffered burns across his face after he broke into a woman's house with a gun. How did she defend herself? How did the man have burns? A pot of hot grease. A pot of hot grease is what she used to defend herself. Police responding to a call of a domestic dispute last Thursday, and they discovered LeDrondrick Macklin with burns on his face. He was taken to the hospital. The detective discovered Macklin was the primary aggressor in the altercation. He entered the house with a firearm, and the victim defended herself with a pot containing hot grease. The relationship to the alleged victim is unclear. And, of course, since the situation is of a domestic nature, we are not at liberty to discuss the relationship between the victim and the suspect at this time. So it looks like the relationship was something that was a previous disclosure there. He was arrested on charges of first-degree domestic violence and first-degree burglary. He's being held in jail on $300,000 bond, taken to jail without incident after receiving medical attention. So yeah, she threw hot grease on the potential invader, who apparently was somebody who she knew. Deez,
sounds like the Texas State Fair. You easy. Don't like it, throw some grease on it,
easy,
and make it tasty,
easy. Okay, I have been to the Texas State Fair and eaten every fried food there known to man,
so you're aware of how good it makes everything.
Okay, so I was gonna say I'm not gonna sit here let you besmirch the Texas State Fair.
I'm not.
Okay, I just want to make
saying it makes everything delicious. She tried to turn him into a savory snack.
You want to talk about a place that I thought I would have hated? Because as somebody who was born on this, somebody is born as close to water as me. I was basically raised to hate everything and anything and everything about Texas, including the Dallas Cowboys. And I spent 3 years in Southeast Texas in Houston, and a little bit of time in Dallas and Austin as a result. And I came away with it not only being incredibly impressed, but missing it more than I thought I would by the end of it.
Oh, you fell in love.
Well, not with anybody there, just with
the place.
With life there.
Yeah.
I did fall in love there, but let's just say there's a reason was that George Strait who sings that song, "All My Exes Live in Texas"?
You had to leave Tom Herman behind. I get it.
Believe me, that's the way it is. He didn't write it, but he recorded that song. So I was on the right track. The head coach of the Wofford Terriers, Josh Conklin, will try to tell us how he plans to follow up a playoff appearance in year one with the Terriers, with year two of him coming up next on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.